from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The Rob Brown Show carries on. It's the Fan Upstate, Robin Lonzo. Happy Tuesday, my dudes and my dudettes. Wonderful to have you along for the ride, the foremost electrifying hours in sports talk entertainment.
There's a four in there somewhere. I don't know. Yeah.
There sure is. Let's go back very briefly to this J.J. Redick thing. Yep. Let's go back to this J.J. Redick thing for just a minute. Wait, dadgummit, I forgot. I always forget that I have the thing.
Where's they don't know that you forgot. You could have let the music go and no one would have noticed.
Let's go back to this J.J. Redick thing for just a few moments. J.J. Redick gets hired as the head coach of the Lakers. Stick with me. This is not a Lakers segment. Okay? It's a sports segment as a whole. J.J. Redick got hired. J.J. Redick goes to the podium yesterday in his press conference, and J.J. Redick says this. The minor detail is I absolutely love the term engagement farming industry. That's so good. And, you know, props to J.J. for acknowledging that that's what his podcast is.
What does that mean?
Getting attention for money. Which, I mean, so are we. Definitely. I just find that there is a preferred way to do it for me, which is not hot take radio. It's never been my bag. And for a lot of people, it is, okay? Now, that's not what I care about. What I care about is the effort that the Lakers are going through here. What I care about is that the Lakers are doing something different, right? They're not just bringing in another one of the retread coaches. They're not going to get a guy that they tried with, that LeBron's worked with in the past. They didn't go get a guy that was just going to be, and I'm not saying J.J. Redick isn't going to be a LeBron pushover. He might very well be a LeBron pushover. Hell, they might have gotten him because he's a LeBron pushover. I don't know if that's the case or not. What I do know is, regardless of their reasoning, they're trying something different. They're trying something new. Does J.J. Redick have experience? No. Does that mean that every person without experience is going to fail? No. I got news for you. I got this gig. I had zero experience in radio. Not a day. But I walked in.
Not this job.
Yeah, not this industry.
Yeah, okay.
My first radio gig was on the air 24 hours after I opened the door, lied about having an appointment with the owner of the company, opened the door, walked in, told him that I was there for the interview, an interview I did not have scheduled, but just told him I was there for the interview. He said, what interview? I said, to get hired on air, because I didn't know what to say. Because I, and this is true, kids, listen to Uncle Rob, but sometimes don't. I lied about having a meeting with the owner. I lied about having an interview appointment with him. We talked for half an hour, and he goes, you know what? I know what it was for. It was for our open producer position, wasn't it? And I went, yeah, that was it. Again, lying. And I got it, right? Had no experience. Well, here I am 17 years later.
Deceit rarely pays off, kids. So, yeah, don't listen to
it. Yeah, but when it does, it's a dope story. It's a great story. I'll tell the story one day about how I got into this full time. But that's the nuts and bolts of it. Okay? Now.
I'm not supposed to be here either. I went to recording school after every place that I worked at went out of business. Not just, you know, don't come back here. It's like the building shut down and was sold or demolished, and went to recording school. It covered radio for like a half hour. So, and here
about
I am
right.
Nearly 30 years later. So, I mean, you know.
Lie is our point, kids. Lie to get a job is our point.
I didn't
so, lie. So they go with J.J. Redick, and obviously the detractors of the decision have said, oh, he's got no experience. He doesn't know what it's like to be a head coach. And these are all obviously true things. I don't care. I don't care. I have made the argument. I have made the point already. You got Braun for 2 more years maximum. Maximum, you got 2 years. Likely 1, maybe 2.
So you're saying that they're looking at this as a 2-year hire? Or are you looking at this guy to be your future and to be able to build a team after LeBron?
I'm saying you're looking at it as an experiment. The team is established right now. It's not as good as it's going to need to be. D'Lo's got to go. They're going to need to be real, real good in the draft with number 17. I'll say right now, drafting Bronny James is a mistake for the Lakers. They're the most likely, I think, team to do it in the first round. But it would be a massive, massive mistake to draft LeBron Jr. He ain't ready. He ain't that guy yet, and they got to find that guy. What I'm saying is, JJ is an experiment. JJ is an experiment that syncs up with the end of the LeBron James era. That's it. It syncs up with the end of LeBron James. If JJ Redick and LeBron James are able to guide the Lakers to some level of success. Once again, like we've been talking about with Clemson and South Carolina, every person is going to have a different definition of success. But if they are able to guide the Lakers to some form of success, and then LeBron goes away, he retires, or he decides he wants to go play 1 more year in C-Town, or whatever it's going to be, well, now you've got a guy who's been locked in for a couple of years. He's got a guy that has been there through the transition. And if J.J. Redick does not work out, well, you got to blow the whole damn thing up anyway, so you might as well blow up every aspect of it. You might as well blow up the head coaching position as well. What I'm interested in is what is the philosophical, if any, philosophical change in sports if J.J. Redick is a success, right? Because, and it doesn't matter if you're talking NFL or MLB or NHL or MLS or whatever. Teams historically have been reluctant to bring in coaches that do not have head coaching experience. So, I mean, they've always got to get a first job. Cleveland just hired one of the Golden State assistant coaches who has never been a head coach. The difference, obviously, that J.J. Redick has never been in the league as a coach. And I'm not saying that that's preferential over a guy, let's say, similar to J.J. Redick. Similar to J.J. Redick in age, similar in J.J. Redick to culture, similar with J.J. Redick to relationships with players in the league that you can utilize and build off of. I'm saying if everything else was the same, would I have preferred J.J. Redick have been in a coaching tree for a little while? Yeah, probably, if we're keeping it a buck. But here's the thing. Like I said, Rob Brown had never been in radio. Then Rob Brown got a producer's position that he lied to acquire. And it turned out I was pretty good at it. At least I think so. I'm still here 17 years later and a number of jumps up in market. And I'm still here.
It's not like you're nominated for an award or anything, though.
Three of them. Two of them. Lonzo got me nominated for. One of them I did. Point here is, just because someone doesn't have experience doesn't mean they're not going to get it. Will there be a learning curve? Probably. Probably a learning curve for J.J. Redick. But I will say this. J.J. Redick yesterday said a lot of things in his press conference, along with, I really don't give a... He also talked about, in what I think was, to be honest, a moment that could have been too big for him. I would have been concerned if JJ would have shown all the signs of a coach who knew maybe they were in over their head a little bit. But JJ Redick was calm. He was cool. He was collected. He wasn't just answering questions. He was giving good answers. He was talking about the need for LeBron James to be included in the offense. He was talking about specifics of the offense. Pointed out that is, in his opinion, one of the failures for LA last year, especially when you look at teams like Boston, who made the NBA Finals, like Dallas, who made the NBA Finals, like the Knicks, who, if they weren't banged up like a mash unit, maybe would have been the team to take down Beantown. The NBA has moved over the past couple of years, and it's a pendulum. It's going to swing one way, then it's going to swing back the other. But the NBA, the last couple of years, has begun to, not intentionally, but has begun to reward teams that are better three-point shooting teams and high-quantity three-point shooting teams. Boston had, I think, five or six playoff games where they lifted over 40 three-point shots in a single game. Over 40 three-point shots in a game. That, for most teams, is going to be slightly less than half of your total possessions. The Lakers were putting up like 20, right? Which is not a bad number if you're a bad three-point shooting team, but they weren't a bad three-point shooting team. J.J. Redick came in the first 10 minutes of his presser, said, look, I need us to shoot more threes. I need LeBron lifting more threes. But then when they asked about that, and they said, wait a minute, coach, what about AD? He went on to say that Anthony Davis is the, quote, hub, end quote, of the Lakers of tact. He talked about how Rui Hachimura is an asset, is a weapon off of the bench, but you've got to create for Hachimura. Hachimura is not a creator. And I think recognizing those things, diagnosing those things, talking about those things, emphasizing those things, the guys that will be on the Laker roster next year, they heard it, they saw it, they felt it, they understood it, they took those things into play, and now they are prepared during the offseason to work on those things. What I think you've got here is a coach who understands most people don't think he deserves to be there. Hell, there may be some players on his team that don't think he deserves to be there. Well, I'll tell you this. I don't know about all of y'all, but for me, and I can even say, I think for Lonzo, you tell one of us we ain't supposed to be somewhere doing something, all it does is make me want to be there and do it more. All right? And as long as it's a legal thing, it's pretty universally true for me. If you tell me you're not qualified or capable of doing that thing, I don't care how many YouTube videos I got to watch. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to figure it out. I got told not terribly long ago when the lady friend and I were filling out envelopes to send out the wedding invitations. And I said, hand me a pen. I'll help you figure it out. And she said, I love you. Don't take it the wrong way. Your handwriting isn't what I need it to be for these. And she's right. I got the handwriting of a drunk doctor. All right? It's bad. You know what I did? I went in the back room. I sat there and I watched, and I mean this, about 45 minutes of calligraphy videos so that I would be qualified. I went back out. I grabbed an envelope. I wrote our name down in my new calligraphy handwriting. And she went, oh, okay. And I got the permission, the ability, the raw joy of writing people's names down on envelopes. Tell me I can't do a thing. I'm going to figure it out. I kind of think that's the vibe I'm getting from J.J. Redick right now. I think he's tired of it. It has been 4 weeks of people saying hiring this guy is a clown move. Hiring this guy is a ridiculous move. It's a silly move. It is a move that will, to quote a texter from earlier in the show, will, quote, fail spectacularly. The thing is, you might be right. I may be crazy. But JJ just might be the lunatic they're looking for. I think that by going outside of the box, I think that by getting somebody that is not tainted by experiences of years gone by, by getting somebody who is not going to feel compelled to emulate somebody else, to copy somebody else, to do the things that somebody else did, to bring in a cat that has absolutely no presuppositions about how this job works, to bring in a guy that can communicate with players on a level that is closer than most of the other candidates that were available, and to bring in somebody who wants to be there, I like the experiment. Because how many more times do we need to see Doc Rivers or Dennis Allen or whoever else continue to fail and set franchises back for years? My whole take is this. I will be watching the J.J. Redick saga with heightened excitement because I genuinely believe that if this experiment works out and if the Lakers have really figured something out here and if the Lakers have put something together that works, you may very well see a change in the way that professional franchises in the future operate when they are trying to find their guy. And I'm really intrigued by it because a lot of teams have made a lot of bad decisions in years gone by because, well, he's got experience. We'll see if the Lakers change the game or not. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate. Robin Lonzo with you. There has long been a discussion ongoing about the potential for the National Football League to switch to an 18-game regular season. Of course, it was 16 forever, and then it shifted to the 17. There was a lot of pushback against that. The NFL has been wanting to expand to 18 games for a very long time. You will recall that the 17-game regular season was actually a compromise between the NFL and the NFLPA. It was part of what ended the last collective bargaining agreement standoff. Was the NFL wanted 18. The Players Association wanted to leave it at 16. And as a handshake good faith agreement, both parties decided, let's just meet in the middle. I'll start walking your way. You start walking mine. 17 games ended up being the arrangement. Now, the NFL is still pushing for that 18th game. And again, in case you ever wonder why, pop quiz time, great one. What's the reason that every decision in sports administration gets made?
See, I hate when you do these questions because I'm always on the edge of making a mistake, so I'm just going to go with money.
That is correct. That is correct. More games, more money for the NFL. That's the whole game, ladies and gentlemen. It's nothing deeper than that. If you ever want to know why an administration makes a decision, 99.9999999999999% of the time, it's because it gets some more money. Well, Pro Football Talk is reporting that, quote, per a source with knowledge of the situation, the NFL Players Association is already bracing for an 18-game schedule. And one of the things the NFLPA has to ponder is whether and to what extent the players want it. Florio and Pro Football Talk say that younger players seem to be fine with an 18-game schedule. Their votes count the same as older players, and older players are not on board. They go on to say that although comments from the commissioner in late April boosted the conversation, the truth is that the issue returned to the front burner when Browns GM Andrew Berry explained on PFT Live from the scouting combine that Cleveland had proposed a two-week delay in the trade deadline to account for the 17th regular game and in anticipation of an 18th game being added to the schedule. After the chatter resurfaced in late February, new union president Jalen Reeves-Maben didn't dismiss the possibility when asked about it, saying simply that, quote, when the time comes up, we'll address it. Well, an item posted Thursday on ESPN by reporter Brooke Pryor gathers quotes from various players as to the possibility of adding another regular season game. A number of players like Colts center Ryan Kelly, who was quoted, spoke out against it, whereas Steelers safety DeMonte Kazee said he was a little bit more pragmatic. He said, quote, it can be positive for both sides. People look at it as another week to feed your family. I love it, end quote. I don't really have a side one way or the other on this, to be honest. Like, I'm never going to argue for less football. I also understand, as a baseball fan, that there's a saturation point. However, I don't think 18 games is the saturation point for the NFL. I don't think that NFL fans are going to say, no, I'm good with 17. I think we're good. I'll tell you what I think is going to end up happening here. I think there's a couple of things that are going to come out of the play. Lester on the stream beat me to the first one, which is, there's going to be another bye week that is going to get added. Every team was going to end up with two bye weeks.
So does this extend the season even further?
No, I don't think it. I don't think it has to. Well, yes, by one, instead of adding one more week, you would have to add two more weeks to the regular season. One to account for every team's 18th game, and one to account for a second bye week, which is something I think the PA will push for.
So we push the Super Bowl back even further into February?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. I do not think you will get an expanded playoff. So I think the playoff format is going to stay the same. You're going to have the one team with the bye. Then you're going to have your three other conference winners taking on three wild card teams. And I think the structure of the playoffs will remain the same. So yeah, the Super Bowl will get pushed a little bit later in February. Here's the thing. Outside of college basketball's conference season, there's nothing that the NFL is competing with there, right? Like the NBA regular season. But there's nothing else outside of the NBA's regular season you're competing with. And let's call it a spade here. It doesn't compete with the NBA's games. It dominates it, right? Like the NBA is already reeling right now because the NFL has added Christmas Day games to the roster this year. Lonzo's Chiefs take on CJ Stroud and the Texans on Christmas Day this year. It is the middle of the week, and they are doing it. I'm going to go ahead and call the shot now. Great one. There will be more NFL fans streaming that Kansas City-Houston game than cable fans will tune in to watch the Lakers play whoever the Lakers get lined up against on Christmas Day this year.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably accurate.
Yeah, I don't think I'm rattling any cages pointing that out. And that's from an NBA fan. That's from a fan of the association. It is not a competition. Anybody who says competition, it's not a competition. The NFL is going to dominate the NBA. You could put the NFL's regular season up against the damn NBA finals, and it would dominate.
Do you know anybody who are basketball alone as far as NBA fans alone and not a fan of football? Because it seems to me there's a lot of crossover, and the choice is going to be football over basketball.
Sure. Sure. I don't disagree. I am a basketball guy, all right? Here's the blasphemy of Rob Brown. I'm a basketball first guy. I love basketball. It's my favorite sport. I also understand that football's king, not just here, almost exclusively nationwide, football is king. I make no bones about that. That is not a question. That is a statement. So football can do whatever the hell it wants. It's going to be fine. The NFL can do whatever it wants. Football is going to be fine. My question mark for this one is, what is the NFL going to have to give up in order to get that last game, right? This is all going to be give and take. The PA is going to push back against the 18-game schedule, not because they are consensus against it. PFT is reporting right now that there is at least recognizable number of young players who don't seem to care. And if that's the case, then you got to grab it now before that becomes the overwhelming sentimentality of the entire association, of the entire league. You've got to get it now while the big power players at the table, the older players, the established vets at the table are still on your side. Because once they continue to age out of the league and this new generation of player starts to pop up and go, yeah, no, we're dogs. Give it to us. Let us eat. Once they start to take over, you kind of lose your leverage there. So my only question is, what is the NFL going to have to give up to get that 18th game? They want it. It expands the TV contracts. As we are seeing in college football, and we'll be talking about coming up in the next segment. More games, more eyeballs, more eyeballs, more advertising, bigger television contracts. That's just how it works. That's all it is. So what will they have to give up? I think you are going to end up getting a second bye added to the regular season for teams. I also think you will probably see some level of team control that is added regarding travel, back-to-back roadies, et cetera, or I should say back-to-back-to-back roadies, et cetera, I think you will see a leveling out of the schedule at the behest of the NFL teams in response to the owners wanting this 18 game. I'm intrigued to see how this plays out. We'll keep you up to date as the report, as these reports start to come in. By the way, Pro Football Talk says that as of right now, they are working on the assumption that the earliest we would see an 18th game added to the schedule could be, Lonzo, around 2030. Because that is the next year that is going to be a new set of TV contracts for the NFL. They're all locked in for like a while. So that's pretty interesting. The question is that 18th game valuable enough that they would pull the current contracts, pay off whatever they got to pay off, to immediately turn around and renegotiate them with an 18th game involved? We'll find out. When we come back, is a new governance structure on the horizon that could officially kill the concept of D1 football? It's weird, I know. Stick with me. The Rob Brown Show. It's the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's the Fan Upstate. Ross Dellinger has an article up on yahoosports.com that I find interesting. I want to open it by reading to you the picture that Ross did an excellent job painting with words. That's the job of us words, guys. Dellinger wrote this. This is the opening few lines of this article. Quote, inside the beachside Ritz-Carlton Resort along Florida's southwestern coast, leaders of college athletics met in a second-floor conference room to discuss particulars about the industry's future. Those in the room were limited to five men, NCAA President Charlie Baker, and commissioners from the SEC, Big 12, ACC, and Big 10. Not in the room, the other 28 Division I commissioners who milled about on the first floor of the resorts, wondering the whereabouts of the other four. One said, I didn't even know they were meeting. Whispered another, of course, they're cutting us out of it. End quote. Now, I make jokes about it because sarcasm is my love language. But, this is kind of, it's not a conspiracy, dude. It's not a conspiracy. As I have told you all, there is one inevitable outcome here. The inevitable outcome is that the power conferences, of which today there are four, I cannot guarantee that much longer, the ACC, the Big Ten, the SEC, and the Geico 12. They, at this meeting, according to the picture that Ross Dellinger has painted here, the commissioners' meetings are taking place in Florida right now. At the Ritz. Of course it's at the Ritz. How can we afford to pay these athletes? Maybe stop putting up 1,000 people at the Ritz, Charlie. Maybe there's your start, bud.
I'm just hearing Frankenstein singing Putting on the Ritz, but, you know.
Putting on the Ritz. That's Mel Brooks the best. The best. So my sarcasm aside, because I have no off switch, instead, let's talk about what happened here. There are meetings set up for all of the conference commissioners, 32 of them all in total. And at least one point during the meeting, Charlie Baker decided that it was appropriate to call the commissioners of the ACC, the SEC, the Big Ten, and the GameStop 12 away from the rest of the meetings to go have a little sidebar. Go have a little conversation. Why don't you fellas come on up? I got the good whiskey on ice upstairs. Let's have us a little family gathering, shall we? Let's have a talk. Let's have a little get together. And the rest of the conference commissioners that are there, according to Ross Dellinger, had no idea that that was happening. Legitimately were like, okay, meetings, where's Charlie? Where's Tony? Where's Tony Petitti? Tony Petitti's supposed to be down here. Where's Tony?
It's a different conference.
Tony Petitti.
Who would be leading the thing?
I don't know. Greg Sankey might have some stuff to say about that.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, he's a figurehead.
All sitting under the Don, Charlie Bacon. At least for now. At least for now. We'll see. So, there is a meeting going on that has all of the lower conferences and basketball-only schools, et cetera, that are all there. They are all now looking out and going, wait a minute here. Wait a minute. The writing is on the metaphorical wall, is it not?
So this would be akin to if we had a station meeting and Diesel wasn't involved. It was me, you, and Cole.
Yeah, you know, the big swingers, yeah, so to speak.
And he's going, okay, why wasn't I invited to that meeting?
You know what it is?
I could have used me as the example, but that's probably not, wouldn't be as unusual as Diesel being left out. So, you know.
It is the equivalent of when you and I finish shows and we walk down the hall, we don't find anybody, and then we get told all the managers are behind closed doors. It's like, oh, uh-oh.
Then the
never once has that door open and they come out and go, everybody's getting a raise. You get a raise. You get a raise. You get a raise. Everybody gets a raise.
Or that fear you feel when you see the email that says mandatory meeting, everyone is expected.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Very rarely does something awesome come out of those. It's just rare, okay? And that's not just us saying that here. I mean, that's for everybody who works for a company that has email. That's just kind of how it goes. So, there is there's a bit of a boiling point that we are approaching when it comes to college ball. Dellinger writes that as of right now, the Power Five conferences are paying about 23% total of the back pay from the antitrust lawsuits the NCAA lost not too long ago. The NCAA National Office is footing about 42% of the bill. The confounding part, Dellinger writes, many commissioners say, is that about 95% of the $2.77 billion in back pay is intended to be distributed to power conference athletes. One commissioner said, Tom Wistercill, W-I-S-T-R-C-I-L-L.
Works for me.
Tom Worcestershire. Commissioner of the Big Sky Conference said, quote, I am looking at a 10% operating budget cut so that money can go to their former student athletes. In the system we've created, some schools and conferences are doing really, really well. Good for them, but some are struggling.
Hey, Rob, what's the Big Sky Conference?
That's where Montana plays.
Ah, okay.
Joe Montana was a quarterback, you idiot.
The people who weren't invited to this meeting of those other, what can they do?
The bigwigs?
Yeah, what can they do?
Well, that's the big question here is it, so for years, we have talked about whether or not the SEC, the Big 12, the ACC, and the Olive Garden 12, I'm just going to go different company every time.
You left out the Big Ten. I'm just, you
know. I thought I led with the Big Ten, didn't I?
I don't think
the Big Ten, the SEC, the ACC, and the Carrabba's 12, at some point, we're going to split away.
Does Carrabba's even still exist?
Yeah.
Does it?
Yeah, there's one in Pensacola. Well, I don't know about.
There used to be one up the road. I don't think it's there anymore.
Carrabba's is fine. I'm going to tell you right now, and I say this with all due respect and love to the Olive Garden. Thank you for the breadsticks. All right. When you go unlimited soup and salad, Rob Brown's a big fan. But, dude, if you want Italian, go to whatever town you're in. They have a little local Italian joint that still has the red and white checkerboard tablecloths, right? And the candles that are made out of old olive oil containers. And there's a guy back there in the back named Giuseppe that makes the pasta every day. And it is unbleeping touchable, man. There is no world where you can't find in any small town in America a little rinky-dink back of a strip mall Italian joint that is going to make the best chicken parmesan you've ever put in your stupid face. You can't do it.
Yeah, they don't have one of those in Gray Court, but they do.
I guarantee you they do.
No.
You just haven't found it.
Rob.
I guarantee they do.
No, they don't.
There's a little Italian dude named Luigi back there cooking up some minestrone that'll change your life.
This is one where I would bet my whole paycheck on.
Okay.
Because I know how small the strip is that has like two restaurants owned by the same guy.
Doing the research during the break.
Okay. Are you?
Yeah. If not, there's one right over here.
Well, yeah, I know that. Ooh. Yeah, but that's not, you said in all little town. I was just trying to, you know.
Yeah. Magnifique, huh?
Yeah, I can't go there now because you've built that place up. And I don't want to go over there, and if I have a bad experience, it would...
You won't.
Yeah, I don't want
you
to
won't.
Do that.
You won't. It's great.
Plus
I've been there
made,
twice.
You made me feel underdressed.
Oh, definitely, so definitely, to, yeah. Definitely don't go in there being disrespectful. Do not show any disrespect. Anyway, the chief worry for the small conferences is that their already slim piece of the pie from the NCAA is shrinking, and there are commissioners that have told Dellinger they're afraid that it is ultimately going to disappear. He writes that the chief worry is over the NCAA men's basketball tournament, which is the association and other the other 28. Their primary source of revenue and the one that truly binds all D1 institutions, while football cash keeps afloat the power leagues, March Madness is the financial lifeblood for the other 28 as well as their national relevance. Already access is in the crosshairs. The tournament is soon to expand. We talked about this a little bit last week, and the championship schools, the power schools, are already trying to pave the way that the expanded tournament would effectively only unlock spots for power conference schools, for more of their schools to get in, which would make it even more difficult for the other 28 schools to make any money in this spot. Dellinger goes on to say, the new governance structure, as well as the NCAA tournament expansion models, are expected to be further explored this week by members of the D1 Council, one of the NCAA's most powerful decision-making boards that includes representatives from each D1 league, a group that perhaps is in line for a dramatic change under the new governance system. Imagine a power conference council of just members from the SEC, Big 12, ACC, and Big 10, for instance. Already, the four leagues are working in tandem over the particulars of the settlement, while in Naples, Commissioner Tony Petitti, Jim Phillips, Brent Yormack, and Greg Sankey met to begin the process of finalizing new football roster limits, a hot-button topic that is part of the new model. No decisions were made, but they inch closer to a roster limit that will likely be more than 85, but less than the traditional 120 players that teams now carry. Not in that meeting, of course, were the other 28. This is a far-blown conclusion. This is way off the beaten path. We've been asking for years now, when is it that inevitably the SEC, ACC, Big Ten, and QT12 are going to split from the NCAA and form their own thing? And now I'm wondering a little bit if the other 28 don't do that instead. If the other 28 go, you know what? You guys are screwing us. You guys aren't letting us in. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to make our own thing. We're going to play football under our own banner. We're going to take our broadcast revenue elsewhere. We will all find our little local channels to get paid by. We will run our own March Madness tournament for everybody that's not in the Big Four.
So the Sith have truly revealed themselves.
I don't know that there's a Sith here.
Before, there were backdoor meetings that no one knew about, and now it's like...
Oh, now it's just happening.
Now it's just out there.
Yeah. Now they put two bouncers that are indie wrestlers from other promotions at the base of the escalator. And when Tony Petitti and Yormack and Phillips and Sankey go upstairs into the special meeting room alongside with Charlie Baker. The indie wrestlers throw up the tough guy arms across the chest and say, hey, other 28 commissioners, y'all ain't bleep. You don't get to go upstairs. That's where the good liquor is. You don't get to go up there. You stay down here and drink the well booze, you peons.
Yeah, up until this point, it's been kind of speculation, but now it's like, hey, this is what we're doing. You're not invited. Everyone who thought we were doing this, hey, guess what?
You were right.
We are. We're doing it.
Yep. This is these meetings are developing, and they are very, 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 very interesting right now. We'll keep an eye on this as these meetings progress down in Naples, Florida. Speaking of Florida, you know who's in Florida? The Florida Panthers, Stanley Cup champions, best hockey team on planet Earth. Now, the sports flash version of the Florida Panthers, Lonzo.
Oh, that's two. Wow, that's rough. Stanley Cup will make its way to the Sunshine State after the Florida Panthers finished off the Edmonton Oilers 2-1 in Game 7. Carter Verhaeghe scored in the opening frame on a redirect from an Evan Rodriguez shot before Matthias Janmark scored a wrister to bring Edmonton even in the second. Sam Reinhart scored on a 3-2 breakaway to give Florida the lead for good. Your 2024 NCAA Baseball National Champions are the Tennessee Volunteers after a 6-5 win over the Texas A&M Aggies. The Aggies trailed by 6-1 at the end of the seventh and attempted to rally, putting up two in the eighth and ninth, but the Volunteers were able to finish the comeback effort. The win gave Tennessee its first Baseball National Championship. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a lot of fun. It's all Wire to Wire.
The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's the Fan Upstate. Ross Dellinger has an article up on yahoosports.com that I find interesting. I want to open it by reading to you the picture that Ross did an excellent job painting with words. That's the job of us words, guys. Dellinger wrote this. This is the opening few lines of this article. Quote, inside the beachside Ritz-Carlton Resort along Florida's southwestern coast, leaders of college athletics met in a second-floor conference room to discuss particulars about the industry's future. Those in the room were limited to five men, NCAA President Charlie Baker, and commissioners from the SEC, Big 12, ACC, and Big 10. Not in the room, the other 28 Division I commissioners who milled about on the first floor of the resort, wondering the whereabouts of the other four. One said, I didn't even know they were meeting. Whispered another, of course, they're cutting us out of it, end quote. Now, I make jokes about it because sarcasm is my love language. But, this is kind of, it's not a conspiracy, dude. It's not a conspiracy. As I have told you all, there is one inevitable outcome here. The inevitable outcome is that the power conferences, of which today there are four, I cannot guarantee that much longer, the ACC, the Big Ten, the SEC, and the Geico 12. They, at this meeting, according to the picture that Ross Dellinger has painted here, the commissioners' meetings are taking place in Florida right now. At the Ritz. Of course it's at the Ritz. How can we afford to pay these athletes? Maybe stop putting up 1,000 people at the Ritz, Charlie. Maybe there's your start, bud.
I'm just hearing Frankenstein singing Putting on the Ritz, but, you know.
Putting on the Ritz. That's God, Mel Brooks the best. The best. So, my sarcasm aside, because I have no off switch. Instead, let's talk about what happened here. There are meetings set up for all of the conference commissioners. 32 of them all in total. And at least one point during the meeting, Charlie Baker decided that it was appropriate to call the commissioners of the ACC, the SEC, the Big Ten, and the GameStop 12 away from the rest of the meetings to go have a little sidebar. Go have a little conversation. Why don't you fellas come on up? I got the good whiskey on ice upstairs. Let's have us a little family gathering, shall we? Let's have a talk. Let's have a little get together. And the rest of the conference commissioners that are there, according to Ross Dellinger, had no idea that that was happening. Legitimately were like, okay, meetings, where's Charlie? Where's Tony? Where's Tony Petitti? Tony Petitti's supposed to be down here. Where's Tony?
It's a different conference.
Tony Petitti.
Who would be leading the thing?
I don't know. Greg Sankey might have some stuff to say about that.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, he's a figurehead.
All sitting under the Don, Charlie Baker. At least for now. At least for now. We'll see. So, there is a meeting going on that has all of the lower conferences and basketball-only schools, etc., that are all there. They are all now looking out and going, wait a minute here. Wait a minute. The writing is on the metaphorical wall, is it not?
So this would be akin to if we had a station meeting and Diesel wasn't involved. It was me, you, and Cole.
Yeah, you know, the big swingers, yeah, so to speak.
And he's going, okay, why wasn't I invited to that meeting?
You know what it is?
I could have used me as the example, but that's probably not, wouldn't be as unusual as Diesel being left out. So, you know.
It is the equivalent of when you and I finish shows and we walk down the hall, we don't find anybody, and then we get told all the managers are behind closed doors. It's like, oh.
Then the
never once has that door open and they come out and go, everybody's getting a raise. You get a raise. You get a raise. You get a raise. Everybody gets a raise.
Or that fear you feel when you see the email that says mandatory meeting, everyone is expected.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Very rarely does something awesome come out of those. It's just rare, okay? And that's not just us saying that here. I mean, that's for everybody who works for a company that has email. That's just kind of how it goes. So, there's a bit of a boiling point that we are approaching when it comes to college ball. Dellinger writes that as of right now, the Power Five conferences are paying about 23% total of the back pay from the antitrust lawsuits the NCAA lost not too long ago. The NCAA National Office is footing about 42% of the bill. The confounding part, Dellinger writes, many commissioners say, is that about 95% of the $2.77 billion in back pay is intended to be distributed to power conference athletes. One commissioner said, Tom Wistercill, W-I-S-T-R-C-I-L-L.
Works for me.
Tom Worcestershire. Commissioner of the Big Sky Conference said, quote, I am looking at a 10% operating budget cut so that money can go to their former student athletes. In the system we've created, some schools and conferences are doing really, really well. Good for them, but some are struggling.
Hey, Rob, what's the Big Sky Conference?
That's where Montana plays.
Ah, okay.
Joe Montana was a quarterback, you idiot.
The people who weren't invited to this meeting of those other, what can they do?
The bigwigs?
Yeah, what can they do?
Well, that's the big question here, so for years, we have talked about whether or not the SEC, the Big 12, the ACC, and the Olive Garden 12, I'm just going to go different company every time.
You left out the Big Ten. I'm just
I thought I led with the Big Ten, didn't I? I don't think the Big Ten, the SEC, the ACC, and the Carrabba's 12, at some point, we're going to split away.
Does Carrabba's even still exist?
Yeah.
Does it?
Yeah, there's one in Pensacola. Well, I don't know about...
There used to be one up the road. I don't think it's there anymore.
Carrabba's is fine. I'm going to tell you right now, and I say this with all due respect and love to the Olive Garden. Thank you for the breadsticks. All right? When you go unlimited soup and salad, Rob Brown's a big fan. But, dude, if you want Italian, go to whatever town you're in. They have a little local Italian joint that still has the red and white checkerboard tablecloths, right? And the candles that are made out of old olive oil containers. And there's a guy back there in the back named Giuseppe that makes the pasta every day. And it is unbleeping touchable, man. There is no world where you can't find in any small town in America a little rinky-dink back of a strip mall Italian joint that is going to make the best chicken parmesan you've ever put in your stupid face. You can't do it.
Yeah, they don't have one of those in Gray Court, but they do.
I guarantee you they do.
No.
You just haven't found it.
Rob.
I guarantee they do.
No, they don't.
There's a little Italian dude named Luigi back there cooking up some minestrone that'll change your life.
This is one where I would bet my whole paycheck on.
Okay.
Because I know how small the strip is that has like two restaurants owned by the same guy.
Doing the research during the break.
Okay. Are you?
Yeah. If not, there's one right over here.
Well, yeah, I know that. Ooh. Yeah, but that's not, you said an all little town. I was just trying to, you know.
Yeah. Magnifique, huh?
Yeah, I can't go there now because you've built that place up. And I don't want to go over there, and if I have a bad experience, it would...
You won't.
Yeah, it's just, I don't want
you
to
won't.
Do that.
You won't. It's great.
Plus
I've been there twice.
You made me feel underdressed.
Oh, definitely, so definitely, yeah. Definitely don't go in there being disrespectful. Do not show any disrespect. Anyway, the chief worry for the small conferences is that their already slim piece of the pie from the NCAA is shrinking, and there are commissioners that have told Dellinger they're afraid that it is ultimately going to disappear. He writes that the chief worry is over the NCAA men's basketball tournament, which is the association and other the other 28. Their primary source of revenue and the one event that truly binds all D1 institutions, while football cash keeps afloat the power leagues, March Madness is the financial lifeblood for the other 28 as well as their national relevance. Already access is in the crosshairs. The tournament is soon to expand. We talked about this a little bit last week, and the championship schools, the power schools, are already trying to pave the way that the expanded tournament would effectively only unlock spots for power conference schools, for more of their schools to get in, which would make it even more difficult for the other 28 schools to make any money in this spot. Dellinger goes on to say, the new governance structure, as well as the NCAA tournament expansion models, are expected to be further explored this week by members of the D1 Council, one of the NCAA's most powerful decision-making boards that includes representatives from each D1 league, a group that perhaps is in line for a dramatic change under the new governance system. Imagine a power conference council of just members from the SEC, Big 12, ACC, and Big 10, for instance. Already, the four leagues are working in tandem over the particulars of the settlement, while in Naples, Commissioner Tony Petitti, Jim Phillips, Brent Yormack, and Greg Sankey met to begin the process of finalizing new football roster limits, a hot-button topic that is part of the new model. No decisions were made, but they inch closer to a roster limit that will likely be more than 85, but less than the traditional 120 players that teams now carry. Not in that meeting, of course, were the other 28. This is a far-blown conclusion. This is way off the beaten path. We've been asking for years now, when is it that inevitably the SEC, ACC, Big Ten, and QT12 are going to split from the NCAA and form their own thing? And now I'm wondering a little bit if the other 28 don't do that instead. If the other 28 go, you know what? You guys are screwing us. You guys aren't letting us in. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to make our own thing. We're going to play football under our own banner. We're going to take our broadcast revenue elsewhere. We will all find our little local channels to get paid by. We will run our own March Madness tournament for everybody that's not in the Big Four.
So the Sith have truly revealed themselves.
I don't know that there's a Sith here.
Before, there were backdoor meetings that no one knew about, and now it's like...
Oh, now it's just happening.
Now it's just out there.
Yeah. Now they put two bouncers that are indie wrestlers from other promotions at the base of the escalator. And when Tony Petitti and Yormak and Phillips and Sankey go upstairs into the
special
meeting room alongside with Charlie Baker... The indie wrestlers throw up the tough guy arms across the chest and say, hey, other 28 commissioners, y'all ain't bleep. You don't get to go upstairs. That's where the good liquor is. You don't get to go up there. Stay down here and drink the well booze, you peons.
Yeah, up until this point, it's been kind of speculation, but now it's like, hey, this is what we're doing. You're not invited. Everyone who thought we were doing this, hey, guess what?
You were right.
We are. We're doing it.
Yep. This is these meetings are developing, and they are very, 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 very interesting right now. We'll keep an eye on this as these meetings progress down in Naples, Florida. Speaking of Florida, you know who's in Florida? The Florida Panthers, Stanley Cup champions, best hockey team on planet Earth. Now, the sports flash version of the Florida Panthers, Lonzo.
Oh, that's two. Wow, that's rough. Stanley Cup will make its way to the Sunshine State after the Florida Panthers finished off the Edmonton Oilers 2-1 in Game 7. Carter Verhaeghe scored in the opening frame on a redirect from an Evan Rodriguez shot before Matthias Janmark scored a wrister to bring Edmonton even in the second. Sam Reinhart scored on a 3-2 breakaway to give Florida the lead for good. Your 2024 NCAA Baseball National Champions are the Tennessee Volunteers after a 6-5 win over the Texas A&M Aggies. The Aggies trailed by 6-1 at the end of the seventh and attempted to rally, putting up two in the eighth and ninth, but the Volunteers were able to finish coming back effort. The win gave Tennessee its first Baseball National Championship. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a lot of fun. It's all Wire to Wire.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.